come knuckle under and handle this.
Even acknowledged that you had called.
I knew that, but that's what they.
That's the newspaper reporters, and I don't report them anything.
I knew that.
You refused to even admit that you called.
I knew that. Well, I haven't.
The day I saw in the paper where one of the reporters said that I did finally admit you called me, and I called her up to correct her. I said I didn't even admit that.
Well, they said.
Yesterday afternoon when I met with those governors, and it's true, you'd call me. And I said, I refused to comment on that.
Yeah.
And then they asked me if I knew anything about the alerting of troops. And I said, I knew nothing of it.
Yeah.
The AP called me a while ago and asked if I knew anything about your alerting troops.
Yeah.
And I told them I knew nothing of it whatsoever.
Yeah. Well, I knew that, and I haven't admitted it either. And one of the men in the administration.
Here's where, of course, it's impossible for me just about to keep a secret, but he called me and I'll tell you why. I've not told anyone except where I felt like I had to tell him. After you called me on Friday, very frankly, we didn't feel like we had a serious situation in San Lena. If you recall, I don't mean we didn't feel like it's serious, we didn't feel like we had anything that liked to erupt on us because. I don't know whether you knew it or not, or perhaps you did, but we called in that community relations service you've got.
Oh, yes.
They came down on the street, I believe it's Houston so far.
Yeah.
Called them down here.
Yes.
I've been keeping in touch with the Attorney General.
Yeah, I knew that. Well, I know there's.
All that kind of thing. So when you called me on Friday, I then determined if that thing was as bad as obviously you've gotten word it was, perhaps I better move in that quickly. So I called every official in San Diego. Parish, board, and municipal. You know, it's very, very poor backward parish. About 40, 50. I call the police, U.R., school board members, little town councilmen, constables, and all. Got them in the governor's mansion Sunday afternoon. I told my son, I'm giving you this information confidentially, and I'd ask you to be discussed. I told you, called me. He told me that that speaker prevent violence in there, that you had no alternative to live in troops. And I told him that. That was what we faced. Now we've got an opportunity here to demonstrate the country that we're law abiding citizens here. We've done everything legally that we could to prevent this. We have no other alternative now but to obey this court mandate. Now, if we don't do it, I said the federal government will see that it is a thing. And I'll force her to go back up there and keep down balance, law and order. And I'm confident that they will.
Yes, well,
apparently, the information came from one of those, although I gave it to them of a confidential nature. That's been almost a week ago. The first inquiry I got about it was yesterday afternoon when I was asked by a newspaper reporter, a TV reporter, that morning, if you had called me, if you threatened to send in troops, and I refused to even comment on that you had even called me.
That's right. Well, of course, I never at any time.
You saw that statement or not.
No, I didn't. But I never at any time threatened anybody with anything. Matter of fact, the purpose of my call was to avoid any possibility of doing anything that I didn't do with the.
Call back to Hill, Bob.
You did. He did, and he called me.
What I had done.
Yeah, I got his statement here.
Well,
you told me that day, as you remember, I said to you that we feel that law and order ought to be maintained, and I assume, and then before I even finished the sentence, you said, well, you talked to your attorney general that morning, and that you wanted me to keep it confidential, but you felt the federal court was as lenient as it could be, and that you were confident there wouldn't be any violence up there. And then I told you that the Klan was operating in there, and we'd had some infiltration, and that I know the state's as anxious to keep any troops out as we are, and I sure don't want them to come in, and if the state guarantees law and order, they sure won't. You have? Well, you said. That's right, and you went further, and you said we don't propose turn this state over to any anarchy or to any group, as far as that's concerned, whoever they are. And we wound up by just saying that's fine, and that's the way we want to work together. And I have talked to the governor of Mississippi a dozen times. I've talked to the governor of Georgia a number of times. I've talked to the governor of New Jersey and the governor of New York and others. And that's the way we're going to do it. I said we're not going to do it like we did in 36 when they send in paratroopers to a place. We're going to try to talk over these things and give the information, and I didn't know how much information you had on the Klan. I found out after I talked to you that you knew pretty well that they were in there pretty heavy, but I thought you ought to have that information and know what our problem was so you could handle it yourself, which you did and did well. So what I'm going to say to them is that I'm not even going to admit we had a conversation. If I do, if I get far enough I have to, I'm going to say that I always talk to the governors about these problems and make available any information I have. And I have made nothing else available. I told the governor if he had any problem, any kind, pick up the telephone, call me.
I don't suppose you comment on mine, your telephone conversation at all, whatsoever. That's, you ask me, but you say whatever you like, and if you want to say you did talk with me, the only thing I had, as I say, I told those officials that's been in the parish, I think I did that properly. I felt like that I should impress them with the seriousness of it, and I further told them. I told them that I was convinced, just like you and I talk, I'm convinced some of those officials belong to the Ku Klux. I told them, frankly, that I believe the FBI had infiltrated the Ku Klux without telling them I thought they belonged to it. You understand?
Yeah.
I think perhaps that did more good than it did.
Well, you said there's probably more of them up there than any other part of the state.
Yes, I told you that.
That's right.
Those people I talked to, I thought the FBI didn't feel me.
Well, we haven't threatened you, and we're not going to threaten you as long as I'm here on anything, and I appreciated the way you handled it. I thought you handled it well, and when Hale called me back, said you had checked it very carefully, and that you wanted to report that things were in good shape, and that you had worked it out.
I read to Hale the statement that was in the paper, that I've been printed there. As a matter of fact, I've got the number there. Strong high confidence, my church, about so far, the way we handled it in Lincoln.
Well, that's the way to handle them, and
what we propose to do here, and I'm quite sure you realize, is none of our state officials or our parish officials can voluntarily give in to the civil rights law. It's got to be done by court order, otherwise they will destroy themselves. After we once get a court order, we're prepared to see it carried out.
Yeah.
We don't prepare to stand in it in this school way.
When I ask you, Governor, about that problem, that's what you told me, that you would carry it out and that you would make a statement to that effect, and you have done that, and you had the congressman call me back and tell me that you had done it, period. And we closed it. Now, the newspapers want to make something out of something that never happened, and the record shows it didn't happen, and I just wanted you to know what they were trying to do with me. And they haven't tried to do it with the governor of Mississippi yet, but they're going to be doing it from day to day all the rest of this year. And I'm going to handle the business with Louisiana just exactly like I handled it the other day. When I have a problem with the state of Louisiana, I'm going to pick up the phone and call the chief executive of the state of Louisiana in a friendly and cooperative fashion and give him the information I have and ask for his cooperation and his advice, and I hope I'll be able to follow it every time as I did in this instance.
I have signed the uniform papers showing him take care of whether I refuse. Confirm whether I had talked with you or not.
Well, you just keep on, and I will too.
Just like it was, I feel like it's serious business, and you had suggested to keep it confidential,
yeah.
And I have done that. Let me talk to you a bit about national politics. You got
good, sure. Go ahead.
Not that you're interested in anything like that.
Well, we had a nice talk when you were here, and
I told you when I was there in your office.
Yes.
I
know that.
I hope it'll put me. Since I've talked with you since I was there. Democratic situation, or your situation, has deteriorated badly here, and I'm sure that's not news to you.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing that you've done, it's all civil rights. People in this state, that we Democrats were frankly a little short of flabbergasted when Goldwater was nominated. Secondly, when he voted against civil rights, we were left in a state of shock. With Wallace in there, we felt like if things got real hot for us, we had a place we could all hide. When he got out, we left up here. You talking about a bunch of fellas gas there. We left here gas there. I had you, as you know, when I became governor, you were not on the ballot. Whether you knew that or not.
Yes, and you told me that.
I had the state senate committee put you back on the ballot. Additional Democratic emblem in this state, which is the rooster. We left Wallace on there. He was going wrong. Matter of fact, it worked out to your advantage because Wallace and Goldwater would have represent the state's right to conservative vote. You've got the more liberal vote, but care to say nothing about the question. So what of being nominated? Wallace is out of the race, which things really rough. I'm sure you're probably as aware of it as I am.
Yes.
The thing we're faced with here in Louisiana is that if we aren't careful, these Republicans here, who got about 39% of the votes against me, are going to fool around and take over our state government here in Louisiana. So we've got an energetic, well-financed, aggressive group. We've got these North Louisiana newspapers which play a tune on us and you every day. And so we've got problems here in Louisiana that perhaps may be peculiar to us. And so I don't know what I'm going to be able to do in the next election. I don't propose to support Goldwater. On the other hand, I don't know whether I'm going to be able to help you or not. I'm talking about personally.
Yes, I understand.
Because if I do, not only could I destroy myself, but I could get all Democrats in this state in trouble.
Mm-hmm.
Talking about on a state level. I don't know whether you noticed or not, but these Democratic congressmen here, Gillis got beat. Jimmy Morrison got just a little more than half the votes. E.A. Thompson was the same way. And I'm confident he was going to beat that Republican, but he can't take it for granted. So we really got problems here, of course, all over civil rights. On generally other domestic issues, foreign policy, I think he'd be going water to death. Just giving it to you as I see it. But I've got to be careful, because if I don't, not only will I get destroyed, but we'll destroy our Democratic setup here in the state. Now,
yes.
Marshall Brown, who was probably chief campaign manager, my state race, is managing your campaign. Lance Long, who was my lady campaign manager, is a co-manager of your campaign in this state. And that, some of my strong friends, both of you, it may very well be all I can do for you.
Yeah.
And I'm just talking straight to you. I know you like straight talk.
I sure do. And I
tell you exactly where we are.
Sure do. Have they seen what he said at Hershey about done the same thing I would?
Well, Marshall is getting all that stuff. And right now, Goldwater is ahead of you, I'd say, considerably in this state. But I'm not sure he'll stay there. But they've been campaigning, they've had the convention. He's pressured voted against civil rights. And those riots, of course, up there in New York and the awful thing there in Mississippi, has gotten everyone's emotions way up. As they do quickly, you know, in the
sure.
South, over civil rights.
Sure.
Now, this thing may settle down some between now and the national election. Right now, it's really, really, really tough.
Sure. Are you going
to? I'm telling you straight to the shoulder. No, I don't plan to come to convention. Here's why I don't plan to come. I don't know what's going to happen there. What you have to do, and I'm quite sure you pretty well control it. But I reason like this. We're going to send a strong delegation, headed by Marshall Brown. If I come up there and something happens, let's just see all that see that Mississippi delegation.
Yeah.
You all didn't see Alabama. I'd have to leave. I couldn't see if I didn't leave, I'd get ruined.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like, am I not coming? That's not just a complete rejection of you. I haven't sworn it that I'm not going to be for you, anything like that. But if I came up and something happened like that, I'd have to leave, or I would destroy myself and pretty well destroy the Democratic setup here in this state.
Mm-hmm.
I think our congressional delegation is not completely safe, not a single one of them. I think they're going to win. I'm going to help them, every one of them, doing what I can for them. As I told, I met those governors yesterday, I told a governor from Affairs from Florida. He's for you, told us he was. I told him I wanted to be for you. My situation in Louisiana was different
from his. I understand that, Governor.
I just talked to him straight. I don't mind telling you, and I gave you a get in confidence. We talked it out. I think he's going to beat Goldwater's death president. That's my honest opinion about it, and I'm thankful again.
I understand.
I tell you a get in confidence, I think he'll make much the better president. But I've got to do something about protecting our local situation here. Right now, this civil rights thing is so hot. I'm talking to you straight, but I know that's kind of talk. You don't want to be flim-flamming around.
I sure don't. I appreciate it. I
want to be for you. That invitation to come to the White House, my wife and I'd be highly honored to come up there. But I'm kind of like a chairman. I don't want to come up there and eat a man's bread, drink his coffee, and eat his food.
Well, that doesn't make it.
And then not be able to help him.
You don't need to. You don't need to do that. You're governor of the state, and you have no obligation. And I have Republicans in here every day. I have Goldwater in 2 weeks ago myself. So it's not that. And
did you read about our governor's meeting yesterday?
Yes, yes.
You know the statement? Did you read the statement I issued?
No, I just saw.
Can you hear it a minute?
Yes, sir. Sure would.
A that our meeting today was for the purpose of discussing mutual problems affecting our states, exchange views as to how we can most intelligently handle them. We feel that our meeting has been beneficial, and we may well have additional meetings in the future. That was period, and that's all we said.
Well, that's good. That's
now,
good.
Our first round was our most meetings. I'm sitting east for you. President Frank, will you, if you tell this on me, I'll probably have to call you
by. I would not do that.
But I didn't hear too many yes in that meeting. You get what I mean.
Yes, sir. I understand that. I understand it, and I appreciate it, and I know those fellas' problems. Governor, you ought to remember. Governor, you...